on ABC Radio Melbourne. You're with Rochelle Hunt.
Do you take a lunch break? And when I say that, did you just laugh and scoff out loud? Because you're currently, maybe now, even at 20 to 3, scoffing your late lunch at your desk, at home, over the sink, wherever it may be. But the idea of actually taking a lunch break, what are the benefits? And do you do it? 1-300-222-774. Danny Valente, as always, joins you. Writer, cook, traveller. Catch all of her stuff on DannyValente.com. Lunch breaks, are they important?
I think they are important. I think breaks in general are important in our busy lives. I think any time that you have the opportunity to take a bit of a breather and to really concentrate on one thing rather than 10 things or the next thing, I think that is really important.
Some interesting research has been done to say that if you're in a workplace, so not working from home, even though maybe, you know, I would love to know actually if you work from home, how do you take a lunch break at home? How do you sort of separate working from lunch? But if you're in a busy working environment, to take a lunch break generally means that you'll chat with your colleagues, you might throw around some ideas, you'll walk to wherever it is, whether it's inside or outside the building, so the blood flows, and you just come back to your desk refreshed and ready to plough on.
Well, that's the hope, isn't it, that you do get a bit of a circuit breaker and you can come back. It is a break in the day, so it's not only just to refuel, it is a time to pause, to change your headspace, to, yeah, get the blood flowing. We're supposed to stand up from our desks every 45 minutes or so anyway, aren't we? And
if you drink enough water, you have to tot off to the toilet often enough, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, water and cups of tea will get you moving eventually. But I think it is great to socialise, and perhaps it's with someone else that you work with, perhaps it's meeting a friend down the street, perhaps it's just, you know, sitting on a bench and saying hi to the seagulls. But I do think it's great.
Hiding your food from them.
Definitely. A bit of fresh air. I think that's really good.
1-300-222-774. And do people look down on you a little bit? If everyone's scoffing at their desk and dropping crumbs and tuna on their keyboard, if you say, oh, I'm just going to go have my lunch now, and you walk off, do people...
The outrage is, you know, those people that leave on the dot of 5 o'clock, are that, you know, is it that similar sort of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I don't know. Isn't it up to everybody to do their bit and just, you know, draw a line and just say, you know, I'm entitled to this and this is good for me. And if your productivity is there, if you, you know, hitting those KPIs, then what is the problem?
And if you come back refreshed and clear headed, the chances are you're working more productively than the person next to you that hasn't left their desk to eat.
Well, that would be my argument. I think a lot of people that do eat at their desk, perhaps they do take some sort of break, but perhaps they're scrolling through the news or paying the bills or, you know, whatever it is, like doing that sort of daily admin. So, perhaps they think they are taking a break, but then I think if you're not moving around and perhaps conversing, having that social interaction, then, is it really a break?
There's something lovely about catching up with people, and maybe on the weekend as well, so not necessarily during the week, but it could be. But catching up with friends for lunch, I almost prefer it sometimes to catching up for dinner. It feels luxurious. It's daylight. I don't know. It just has such a wonderful vibe about going out for lunch with people that you love. Are you at lunch or dinner if you had to pick?
Oh, if I had to pick, I'd pick breakfast just to be contrary.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, see, you don't like that.
Going out for breakfast. No.
You're not into it?
Don't get me started.
I agree with you about the. I think it's that carving out of time that could otherwise just slip by and you're on to the next thing. But I do definitely think, you know, if I'm running about during the day and I see a restaurant and it's full, it's often, let's face it, sometimes it is the ladies who lunch, and you do think that is nice. Mm. That's good. They're having some quality conversation, and even if it's just, well, if it's real ladies who lunch, perhaps they've played tennis and now they're having lunch and then they're doing the pickup. But of course, I think those quality social interactions are really important, and it's important to take time for them.
Corinne says, working from home requires discipline to make time for a break, and it's not always easy. And then from Anonymous, saying, Rochelle, I worked with your dad at Moe Mall and Currumburra for 12 years, and we never took a lunch break. My dad would so take a lunch break. You are lying. However, though, he worked in the police force. That's probably an industry and a profession where you wouldn't necessarily take a lunch break.
Not everybody can do it. And, some people perhaps work through their lunch break so they can leave that half an hour early because they need to, pick up kids, or they just want that extra, they want to hit the road before the traffic's too bad. So there are definitely reasons and good reasons why people decide not to do it. But I think if there's a way of just clearing the head, gulping in some fresh air in the middle of the day, then I think that's good for your day on either side of that.
And if your workplace has set up some rules and some workplace agreements to force you to go out, have lunch, get some fresh air, maybe they put on particular lunches, maybe your workplace does something special once a week so you all have lunch together, I would love to hear from you. 1-300-222-774. Danny Risch, ladies work from home as a dog groomer. No time for a lunch break at all. My sandwich is generally shared with whichever pooch I'm grooming at the time around one-ish. If I were to take a break, my day would run close to 9 hours after eight and a half on my feet. A lunch break is just out of the question.
I hear that. Yeah, it's not easy for everybody, and some people's work environments just simply don't allow for it. And I guess everyone is just balancing it and, shoving in a sandwich along with a mouthful of dog hair. That just is the reality for some people. And I understand. Personally, I don't always take a lunch break, so sometimes I will have a sandwich at the desk, and that means that I've got, a little bit of extra time at the end of the day to, get on with things. So it's not always possible, but I think it's desirable if you can make it happen.
Within the hospitality industry, where you live and breathe food, do they take lunch breaks?
Well, I think the best circumstance is that restaurants gather for what might be called a family meal. So that's in the late afternoon before service starts. So often it will be one chef's role to create that meal. Perhaps they share it around, and it'll be something that everyone in the restaurant, front of house and back of house, sit down and eat together. And I think it's a lovely way to bond, as well as to get something nourishing in, because, people who feed us fantastic food are often notoriously not eating well themselves. So it is great if that's part of a restaurant's culture.
I had a wonderful story where a group of people in a smallish workplace, every Friday they bring a dish, but they have to bring a dish that's kind of important, or a family dish to them. It might be something that they share with their family and friends. And every Friday they share lunch together as a workplace, and it's a way of getting to meet people, getting to know a little bit about somebody, because the food has a bit of a backstory to it.
Food is always a way of connecting, and it's not just because the fact that we happen to be sitting down eating together, but if there's stories behind the dishes, where did that dish come from? Whose recipe is that? What's that flavour? Then I think it's definitely a beautiful way to connect. It's a non-threatening way to get a little bit closer to other people.
1-300-222-774. Do you share lunch with colleagues at work? 0437-774-774 is the text line. We'll get to what we should take and what we do take for lunch in just a moment. But Deb's in Chadstone. Do you sit down and take a lunch break, Deb?
Yeah, hi, Rochelle. Not usually. I'm a teacher and I teach at TAFE. But what I wanted to share was our students. We have I teach in a course with students with learning difficulties, and the hospitality students in the second half of the year get to run a cafe, and it becomes this incredibly joyous thing that the staff go and have lunch in the cafe, where the students cook the food and they service, and we have coffee, and it's probably one of the most joyful times of the week in the second half, and we all look forward to it.
Yeah, that's so nice.
It's awesome.
It's a win-win, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
I wonder if there's a way to sort of tailor something along those lines in more workplaces, Deb.
Oh, wouldn't it just be delightful? I mean, I've been at one workplace where once a week we would bring a cake that was usually made by someone in the department, and we would all come together to have morning tea. And, we don't do enough of that, I don't think.
Yeah, even getting together for morning tea, it's something, it just breaks the day and you get to chat to people. Deb, thank you. I remember years ago going to one of the hospitality schools, one of the big ones, and they would put on lunch service. I didn't know you could actually go there to like a restaurant. It cost barely nothing.
Yeah, it costs like nothing. It's a great opportunity for the students to showcase their skills.
And it's like $10 for three courses or something. Yeah. And in the heart of the city, it was great.
Yeah, no wonder people are going to feel good about being there. You just reminded me of a place that I used to work where we stopped at 11 o'clock for crumpets and to do the nine-letter word. And admittedly, that wasn't the most rigorous of workplaces, but certainly there was a beautiful camaraderie among the staff.
I can just imagine the interview process and it be towards the end. And our final question, Miss Danny Valente, how do you feel about crumpets?
I'm fine with crumpets.
Then you have the job. And how do you feel about quizzes? We stop for a crumpets and quiz at 11. That's, yeah, had me at that.
9 o'clock tonight, Utopia is back in a brand new season.
I reckon it could be a game changer.
Let's hear it.
Shaping the nation with big ideas.
They're building skyscrapers out of cardboard.
Bold initiatives.
What was that thing we did last year with the terrorists and the pedophiles?
Dog whistle.
Encryption.
And lots of buzzwords.
Microstructure. Ruralisation. Nanotecture.
That's the sort of thing people want to hear about.
What does it mean?
I'll send you a link.
The brand new season of Utopia continues 9 o'clock tonight on ABC TV and iView.
Rochelle Hunt on ABC Radio Melbourne.
With Danny Valente, and we're asking, do you actually take a lunch break? Is it something that is promoted or is frowned upon in your workplace? And what do you take for lunch? Do you take your lunch religiously every day? Do you take leftovers? Do you make your own lunch? Or do you buy it every day? And do you want to make that change? Nick has sent a text saying, ladies, I'm a careers teacher in a busy secondary school. Lunch is usually eaten with lots of kids coming and going from my office to chat. Some kids bring their lunch, we eat together and chat. However, I have Mondays off and my hubby and I always meet for lunch when he's working in town. We walk to a nearby lunch place and we enjoy time without our daughters and chat.
That is beautiful. That's those moments of connection and really carving out that time to be together. So I think that's just deliciously healthy and
on all many,
warm
so many
and fuzzy
levels.
And perfect.
I know.
Yeah.
What do you take for lunch? If you work in an office building, you were to walk in and work at a magazine for a day or wherever it may be in an office place, what would you take for lunch?
I think something that's always good is a grain or a pulse, something fresh, some herbs. So some sort of nourishing salad that's not too wet, so it's going to stay nice, have a little bit of crunch by lunchtime. But just with a bit of zing, so a little bit of lemon, so nice sort of light dressing that's not going to sog it all up.
And you need something to go with it because you think you're doing the right thing by taking a nice leafy green salad for lunch and then half an hour later, your stomach is
off to the vending machine. No, I think if you've got chickpeas in it or, you know, some lentils or something that's going to, you know, those slow release carbs, I think that's good. Going to give you energy for the next few hours.
I admitted to Raphael Epstein yesterday that I have complete lunch envy. Every day he's at the microwave, he's heating up some fancy leftovers that, you know, Yotta Mottolini recipe has. Oh, but when you cook the night before, cooking extra. That's kind of key, isn't it?
I think that is key. So I think even as you're planning the dinner, thinking about the lunch the next day and whether it might be, you know, a school lunch or two plus a work lunch, I think that's a great way to go. But I think it's also behooves us to think about, you know, how is it going to fly in the office or the workplace? Is it going to stink the joint out? Is it going to provoke jealousy or alarm and disgust?
Well, see, Ed has sent a message saying, you know, it's worth noting just how obnoxious it is to being subjected to the hideous sounds and smells of co-workers chowing down at their desk. Now, Ed obviously has some reservations.
I think he's got some reservations. And I mean, the one that always comes up when people talk about this is tuna. So I think if we banned tuna from the workplace, it's like the...
No one would eat if you banned tuna from the workplace. It's huge around
it's
here.
It's the durian of office life, you know, that tropical fruit that's banned from public transport in Singapore and Malaysia. Tuna is the durian of... I think so. Because whether it's a tin of tuna that's opened and turned into some sort of, you know, locale salad, you know, perhaps a little bit whiffy. If it's tuna pasta bake that's heated up in the microwave, you know, that can really permeate the whole office floor.
Hi, Cheryl.
Oh, hello.
Hi, what did you want to say?
Hi, I'm at Phillip Island, and I used to work for a community health centre in the country, and we were attached to a rural hospital. And our hospital had morning tea for the staff, and it was always homemade scones. And the staff would get together. It was almost a competition between which was the best scone.
I'm sure it was.
and the staff got together, and it was a really good supportive atmosphere.
And how did it start, Cheryl?
Oh, well, I was there for 10 years and it was already going when I was there. But we had new management and they were actually going to stop it because of the cost and the time. And our old deputy CEO said in no circumstances was he going to let it finish because it was a good way to bring all the staff together.
Mm, yeah, it has huge impacts, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it was terrific. And I was actually working outreach. So for me to come back to the hospital and sit down and have morning tea with people maybe once a fortnight was just terrific. Other than that, I was always working on my own. So that was a good supportive
environment.
Yes, and
that's right. And if you're in, Cheryl, thank you. I kind of feel like a scone now. But, you know, if you're in an environment where maybe you're on the road or you work a lot on your own, to have that opportunity to once a week or once a fortnight, like Cheryl, be able to get together with colleagues and feel like you're a part of something.
That's right. I think it can be so important. I think one thing that does perhaps get in the way of those communal gatherings these days is that as more people present with allergies or perhaps are on special diets, I think, you know, you can just imagine that, you know, if you put the scones in the workplace today, perhaps, you know, there'd be 20% of people who'd be like, oh, I'm gluten-free or I'm on a diet or I'm low
detoxing,
carb.
Yeah, I'm fasting.
So perhaps it does get a little bit more complicated these days to bring people together around food.
If you were to take a sandwich to work, Danny Valente, what would your ideal filling be? And let's go with two options.
Oh.
There is a toaster, so there is a sandwich press at work, and there isn't a sandwich press at work.
Okay, so if there isn't, then I'd probably take some sort of pita pocket type thing, but I would put the lettuce closest to the bread so that whatever I put inside was not going to leak through and turn the bread into a soft paste.
There's nothing worse.
Yeah, so, I mean, so maybe some yummy falafel or some grilled chicken could be nice in there with the, yeah, again, just a little bit of, you know, lemon juice and olive oil perhaps, but nothing too oozy. And if there was a toasty, I'd probably keep it pretty classic with, you know, some sort of meat and cheese and maybe a pesto or a relish.
See, I once thought I was doing the right thing for my co-host, Mr. Brian Nankervis of the Friday Review, and we were working on a public holiday. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to be the best co-host ever and I'm going to make an extra sandwich for him. That we can toast here at work because there'll be nothing open. And at that point when I revealed the sandwich, I discovered that he doesn't like mustard or relish. And at that point I felt like walking away. I'm like, I cannot work with this man.
No. I mean, mustard and relish on a toastie is essential. Is it even a toastie?
It's not.
No, you need that little bit of zing in a toastie.
Yes. What sort of mustard do you go for? If you were having a classic ham, cheese, tomato, what sort of mustard would you put on?
For a ham, cheese, tomato, I'd put a Dijon. Mm. Yeah.
Seeded?
No, for that toastie of my dreams, it would not be seeded. But Rich, I promise, if I came here and you made me one with seeded mustard, I'd be very grateful.
Thank
and I
you.
Would eat it.
Thank you
and
very
then I would,
much.
I would lick my fingers.
Thank you. Oh, we'll pass that comment on. Titian's in Frankston. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What did you want to say?
Yeah, so what I was trying to say was my daughter's lunch is very much in demand at the school because she takes almost different food every day. And she will take it extra so that she can share it amongst her friends who love the food of our house. And they all wait, including teachers, many a time to eat with her because she has this yummy food from our kitchen going to her school every day.
And is she taking food, Titian, that you've cooked for her?
Yes.
Yeah, see, this is you can take all the credit here.
Yes.
I love the fact that she's taking extras.
Lots of food so that they can take, and she just spreads it around everywhere.
Titian, thank you. I was that friend too because I would often forget lunch at school or it'd be just dodgy and my girlfriend would often just bring an extra, just a cheese sandwich, but she'd bring an extra for me.
You're lucky. And, yeah, I've had requests for extras to go in the lunchbox so they can be shared around.
Sarah says, banned toast from the workplace. Smells so very good. It never fails to make me hungry. Might go make some now. I know.
Toast is like that.
Or sausage rolls, when you're like, oh, who's heating up sausage rolls?
Yeah, and some people do popcorn in the microwave in some workplaces, and I've heard other people say, oh, no, that makes me want it too much.
I've never thought of that.
Yeah, a pretty easy one.
I'm bringing that route in. Let's quickly try and chat with Bernie. We don't have long, but Bernie, what do you take for lunch?
Mine more is a recollection of when I was in school in the late 60s and coming in an Italian family. They used to import their own cheese and make their own salami. And we'd have bread delivered about 7 in the morning. So you'd have fresh cheese salami sandwiches that by about 10 o'clock, the whole room smelt the same. But we were lucky because half the class was Italian, but boy, it was strong.
Oh, the fact that you're having bread delivered and homemade salami, I know it does have a really pungent smell, but how delicious and
if everyone's
decadent.
Eating it, then yeah, that sounds like a pretty good classroom.
I'm a crane manufacturer and I've got a chef to come and teach the welders how to cook their lunches. It was virtually killing them softly. They both loved it and now they're killing it in the kitchen, says Murray.
That's perfect.
How great is that?
Yeah, learn the skills and then, yeah, apply them throughout life.
This is what we bring. Just from lunch, from a simple toasty.
From toasties to the world.
Danny Valent, what can we see on DannyValent.com at the moment?
Just some, I guess, end of winter and starting moving into spring delicious recipes.
How exciting is that? It's changing. There's a change out there.
Change is afoot.
We can feel it, can't we?
We can.
Thank you, as always.